Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today's guest, Joe Meyer, is the new Executive Vice President of Global Banking at Diebold Nixdorf. Joe is an industry veteran who, prior to Diebold Nixdorf, served as Chief Revenue Officer and President at Elavon, a global leader in payments processing. Joe, along with our own Brian Riley, Director of Credit and Co-Head of Payments and Mercado Advisory Group, share insights on the ATM landscape, how cash is still very much king, and how modernizing systems and solutions can streamline and elevate consumer experiences. Joe also shares key insights from conversations that he's been hearing from customers. Joe and Brian, it's great to have you with us today. Joe, it's now been more than 90 days into your role at Diebold Nixdorf. Where do you see the market going, specifically in the ATM space?
Yeah, so it's about 102 days that I've been in this role, and I've got to say, thoroughly enjoying learning and really dispelling some of the myths that I'd created in my own mind as I came in. So as you're well aware, I came from the payments industry and was in that space for a very long time. And one of the myths that I'd created in my own mind was one that, you know, cash was on the decline, electronic payments were just going to be all things to all people as we go forward. And I guess my biggest learning over the last 100-odd days, and as part of the diligence as I came into the role, is actually that cash is on the increase, right? If you look at global cash in the economy since 2012, you know, there's a compound annual growth rate of about 7.5%. So cash is growing. And you know, that was one of the things that really struck me as an aha moment, because obviously as cash goes, so consumers need access to cash. And that has a direct correlation on how that all plays through in the ecosystem, you know, including access to technology like ATM that allow people to access it, because there's other conditions in the marketplace which are occurring as obviously bank branch shrinks. So Diebold Nixdorf sits in a very, very interesting place, connecting the physical to the digital and still allowing access to cash within, you know, for those that need it. So, you know, we find ourselves in a place that the ATM market is in good shape. We have tremendously strong products, tremendously strong global market share, and I'm super excited about where this company is going to go from here.
Well, you know, you can't argue with cash, that's for sure. But something too I've seen over the years too is how the ATM has become more just than a money machine. There's other functionality to it, right? In many ways, it's now, it used to be just asynchronous. You could take cash out and now being able to put back into the system. And even as electronic payments start growing, you know, there's definitely a use case for these machines that you can see using to displace some of the operational expenses associated with the branch too.
Yeah, Brian, great add, right? So, you know, functionality and technology are playing a bigger role. You know, I touched very briefly on this notion of banks and bank branch declining. You know, globally, that stands at around about 1% per annum. So, you know, the rate of decline is there. It's not huge, but it's certainly happening. And the functionality that technology is putting forward so that people still have access to services is critical. Yeah, I like to think about the story of the small business, right? The small business guy who is, you know, 10, 15, 20 miles away from his nearest branch, and he needs to deposit the cash in his account that he's going to make payroll with, or he's going to pay critical vendors with. Now, he's able to get to the ATM, he's able to make sure that those deposits go through and are instantly available. And then, as you say, you know, making sure that it's easily available through, you know, and make payments through app or on the ATM is a critical part. So these functions are just start really growing in terms of what you can do on the machine. And, you know, in our R&D, the guys have some incredible ideas of where these machines will go and the services that will come with them, all in looking to support our banking customers' journey as they continue to try create exceptional experiences for their customers. And really, as I come back to this whole notion of the connection between the digital and the physical being critically important and really meeting customers where and how they want to be met with the technology that they want to use.
So you mentioned, you know, listening to customers, and that's definitely like very critical. You've been out there speaking to customers. What are you hearing? Are there any problems, you know, that they're thinking about that you're looking to solve?
Yeah, for sure. So I mentioned the 102 days. In 102 days, I think I've done something like 12 different countries. I've been around the world at least once with visits to Asia, Mexico, Brazil, Thailand. I was in Seoul, Korea just last week. I was in London at a conference as well. So I have been on a listening tour, listening to our customers globally. And you know, the one thing that is common across all is there isn't a CEO at any of these banks that isn't looking to improve their efficiency ratio, right? And just for everybody's reference, I liken this. So efficiency ratio, very simply, more revenue, less expense gives you a better efficiency ratio. And so how are they looking to improve their efficiency ratio? Well, one, of course, is by attracting new customers and generating new income and new fees from those customers. Two is retaining those customers that they have and enabling cross-sell and upsell into those customers, again, driving additional revenue sources from those customers. And then thirdly, reducing the cost at which they do it. So we touched on, you know, the ongoing branch transformation that we talk about, you know, reducing the amount of staff in branch and relying more heavily on technology. So everyone is focused on that as the prize. So we'll put that under the efficiency ratio bucket. Where it gets really interesting is as we start to think about the journeys that are being created and how, you know, the app and the web and the physical assets like ATM, branch, and phone and advisory services are all having to work very closely together to create a seamless experience. And that's how banks are differentiating themselves from each other and how they're looking to win market share in what is a very, very competitive marketplace. So that's what we're picking up from our markets and where we currently stand in terms of how we are positioned to help support them. And again, you know, that creating those journeys that best enable them to attract and retain new customers and doing so in a cost-effective way.
And you really hit on this interesting point here too, Joe. And there's kind of a symbiotic relationship between ATMs and branches and payments. It creates an ecosystem where you know that the card has to have broad acceptance. And certainly the financial institution has their own branding that can be done with that. And they can tie it into the branch, they can tie it into the card. And there's a whole continuous loop here that I see.
Yeah, and that then goes into even further. So as you think about the asset, right, and let's just focus very singularly on the ATM. I like to think about it more as the experience, right? So, you know, there, as we look across the globe, different folks and different areas are doing different things. But yeah, let's take the Swedish market as an example, because I think, you know, that's probably bleeding edge when we think about the advancement of the technology that's out there, right? So Sweden declared that they would be a cashless society only sort of 15 years ago. And actually, they've had to reverse that and re-engineer or reposition what is a cash-light society. And in fact, there's a regulation that's come into place that every single member of the Swedish population has to be within 25 kilometers of an access point to cash. And that is more around the entire ecosystem and the resiliency that cash brings to the economy. And I think that's a great proof point for the rest of the world to start to think about as they think about this migration to a cash-light society. Now, it's critical that availability to cash is maintained across the entire ecosystem to allow that resiliency should disaster occur. And that's just, again, as I've learned over the last 100 days, that's something I never, ever would have thought about. As I think about resiliency and the infrastructure within a country and the importance that availability to cash and services and banking services actually delivers.
And, you know, you talked about this progression to this cashless society, and you already gave a few use cases in terms of what People Next Door is doing to support customers with all like these challenges that they're facing. But when looking at specifically like modernizing systems and just becoming more nimble and more agile, can you give a few more use cases and what you're seeing as well?
Yeah. So, you know, I think I come back to solving the problem, right? So there's some constants that are in our ecosystem. So, you know, there isn't a banker that isn't dealing with more regulatory oversight than they did last year, and they'll deal with more next year, right? That costs them money to be able to put in systems and functionality and that enable them to maintain a good customer service and customer journey. And as you look at, you know, the systems of the past, they are very cumbersome and hard to develop on and hard to make quick changes. And at Diebold, what we've created is a set of microservices that we have deployed across a number of key banks that enable them to very quickly and very effectively make the changes required to be able to comply with whatever regulatory changes in place so that they are able to capture the data they need to capture. They're able to store it in the manner they need to store it. But more importantly, they're also able to create customer journeys which allow them to continue to attract and retain their existing customers, and done so in a relatively cost-effective way. So all of that, you know, is what I call beyond the ATM and services that Diebold Nixdorf do deliver. And we've got an exceptional consulting team, which is ready to talk to bankers and showcase exactly what we can do.
How do you feel that Diebold Nixdorf is positioned to help? What do you see happening in the next weeks, years, especially as, you know, you've been going on your listening tour, you've been hearing a lot, you've been having a lot of conversations. As we look ahead, what do you expect?
So I'm a big believer that, you know, the old saying around stick to your knitting, right? You know, we have a strategy that is very clearly positioned to support banks in exactly as I said, you know, creating journeys which enable them to differentiate themselves from the competition and retain their existing customers all in a cost-effective manner. Now, this is a very, very broad landscape. So, you know, Diebold, traditionally a hardware company. However, you know, about 40% of our revenues comes from services. So our core and our strategy on a go-forward basis will be very much strengthening our core, you know, gaining even more market share from our hardware. You know, we are the number one provider in the world and will continue to be so. Our services, you know, we have 22,000 team members across the world who are making sure that those systems are up and running, you know, as close to 100% of the time as possible. And then obviously software, right? Making sure that we are validating the transactions, ensuring that we understand who, you know, the security is a key part of it. Marketing becomes a key part of it as well. So enabling banks to present offers via technology as opposed to via a person. And ultimately, you know, where we think we'll get to is taking away some of the more transactional type transactions and pushing customers into that personalized area where bankers can actually advise and help create additional value for their customers. Of course, that creates stickiness. And of course, the benefit to the bank is additional fee income because they're able to sell in more complex solutions than, you know, they would via an ATM or other. But, you know, the software certainly is presenting offers at the time and place that, you know, the consumer wants to be met. And that's the time and place to present new offers, you know, in however they want to receive them. So it could be on the app. It could be on an ATM, it could be on the web, it could be in any other place, and making sure those offers are really personalized. So I'm really excited about how we're going to continue to add value to our customers, how we're going to continue to evolve the landscape and the way that, you know, customers make their purchase decisions. And I'm, again, really excited about the future of this company. I don't think I could have joined at a better time.
But, you know, your 40% number, Joe, is interesting because when I think of Diebold, I think of ATMs, a physical device. But you know, it at the end of the day, an ATM is a commodity piece for a financial institution, but the special sauce is being able to customize it to that financial institution. So that number puts a lot into context.
Yep. Well, as I said, they're all the various services that sit around it. And, you know, we are getting deeper and deeper into the banking ecosystem, supporting our, the world's 100 largest banks are all customers of ours. So, you know, there's a good following, and we're producing great results for those, and look forward to producing great results for many, many more.
I've started to see a live teller thing going on with a lot of when I use an ATM these days.
IVT, video teller. Yeah, it's in development. We have some trials out there. But yeah, it's a huge topic, right? And, you know, this whole notion of service via portal, via video is a big one. And, you know, ATM, but of course, like we sat here today on things like Zoom, and you know, more and more, you talk about adding value and how advisory services come into play for the banks. Think about things like wealth management. Having a conversation like this across video becomes very, very real and a good use of bankers' time, right? So I think there certainly is a massive runway to get into video via teller, so in the ATM. Of course, video actually in branch, where you have a remote type branch and these sorts of transactions as well. So video is a big thing and something that we do have capability that we can share.
Yeah, what I've seen it with two big money center banks, and then I recently had to open a credit union account myself just for a client, and it was actually a good experience because I'm used to top banks. But I was surprised how they had integrated the IVT into the whole transaction. So with a push of a button, I can be dealing with a rep on time. I could do things like choose the denomination of funds, for instance. And I've also seen it with a couple of big banks using it to displace closed branches, right?
So for sure. And I think that, you know, that's certainly a major occurrence as we think. I quoted the number about the exact number is 0.7% of branches is declined between 22 and 27, right? And that technology is being deployed to maintain the personal touch and ensure that the customer journey and the support required by that customer is available at the push of a button. So, yep, it's technology that's there. And obviously, that results in major efficiency for the bank because they're not having to staff multiple banks at places that may get footfall very seldomly.
Yeah, you could do it with remote employees or on-premise employees, too. That gives you more flexibility and certainly helps with overflow and diversion.
Yep, indeed.
I mean, as we look at predictions and we talked about what we can expect in the coming years, do you see that being a central part in 2023, or is that something that is still going to be in beta testing form and something we're going to see later on the horizon?
No, it'd certainly be a central part in the very near future, right? So as I said, it's here. And it actually, so from a market perspective, it's far bigger in the US than in other places. And so, you know, the fact remains, though, that there are a number of rural centers that need additional functionality and have, you know, these machines that have replaced the branch. And so more and more, I think the functionality will become sort of a prerequisite across the piece.
You know, something else that's interesting too is, you know, when it comes, everybody needs to cut expenses, but there are some items you don't want to come in really cheap on. So you need a bank grade ATM. You don't need this little kiosk that can spit out cash. You know, there's a level of structure that you really expect with an ATM. And that's something that I think is really strongly associated with the Diebold brand.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for that. And I'll just add, of course, security is a major, major part of the way we think about this. Securing the ATM, securing the cash within the ATM is a big part. But then, of course, you know, the other key bit here is availability, right? And making sure that the solution is available to customers. There's no worse experience than arriving to go and make a withdrawal. And guess what? You see the green screen that says this machine isn't working. And we know that that is a critical challenge for banks. And so we've got 22,000 team members working to keep the ATM network up and 100%, as close to 100% available as possible. One of the things I will add to that actually is we have created a solution, which again, our All Connect data engine. Now, this technology is really forward-thinking and AI-driven. And what it tells us and tells our techs is, hey, if you go in and you see the report comes out, and say one of the engines is slowing down and running at 3,000 revs rather than 5, that's a signal that that engine is about to go out. So we're able to do preventative maintenance to ensure that the uptime remains. And we are running a huge number of transactions through what is our All Connect data engine. And in fact, that's helping us also evidence, you know, where machines are getting overused, where we need a second machine, the amount of cash that's in circulation, and really supporting banks in positioning their fleet in the right places. So some really, really great insights are being developed out of that and coming out of that. You know, and the key driver is making sure that there is a very, very high uptime. And so, you know, we're all working towards that magic 100% availability.
You brought it up something too before that made me think. I live in Florida, so you have this annual ritual of hurricane season, right? And just the need for availability. So typically when you know the storm is coming, you make sure you have enough water, toilet paper, and cash on hand. You could wring it on everything else, but those are the fundamentals of life. So in case the credit card network is down, and credit card networks do go down during hurricanes, yep, you need to go to your ATM and get it. And you look at the weather in Denver right now, where they got 2 feet of snow. That's another use case where you really need the reliability of those machines.
Yeah, you said it. I'm far from Florida, so I hope the storm season treats you very well over the next little bit.
Lots of great insight and information was shared. Joe and Brian, thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to have you back on soon.